Thank you, Mr. Miller. Good afternoon and happy Sabbath to all of you here. And as was mentioned, welcome to our visitors, those of you with us today, and also warm welcome to those of you with us on the webcast this afternoon. Let's begin today with a look at some of the blessings God promised to the children of Israel if they would be obedient to his laws and to his commandments. God promised great blessings if they would walk in his ways and if they would follow his instructions. Now, the time period is nearing the end of the 40 years that the Israelites wandered in the wilderness, so it's near the end of Moses' life as well. God allowed Moses to gaze out at the promised land from Mount Nebo, but he did not allow him to cross over the Jordan River with the children of Israel because of his disobedience to God some years earlier. Turn, if you would, with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28, and we'll read through some of the blessings God promised the children of Israel for their obedience to him. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, and we'll begin reading here in verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning here in verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Eternal your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Eternal your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Eternal your God. Blessed be you in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall you be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessings on you, on your storehouses, and in all to which you set your hand. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. In verse 9, the Eternal will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Eternal your God and walk in his ways. Then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Eternal, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Eternal will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, and in the land of which the Eternal swore to your fathers to give you. The Eternal will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow, and the Eternal will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Eternal your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. In verse 14, so you shall not turn aside from the words which I command you this day to the right hand or to the left to go after other gods and to serve them. Now that is quite an extensive list of blessings that God promised if they would obey him. Protection from their enemies, blessing in the city, blessing in the country, through their children, in their farming, in their flocks and herds, rain in due season, and so much more. Of course, there are other similar lists of more blessings God promised as well, if they would walk in his ways and if they would keep his laws. But unfortunately, throughout most of their history, they did not enjoy and benefit from many of these blessings. The years of evil kings ruling over the people of Israel and Judah far outnumbered the years of righteous kings ruling over them. Saul, David, and Solomon each ruled for over 40 years and over all 12 tribes of Israel. After King Solomon died, the tribes of Judah, Benjamin, and much of Levi became the southern kingdom of Judah, with the other nine tribes and part of Levi forming the northern 10 tribes of Israel. The northern kingdom of Israel had 19 kings before they were taken captive by the Assyrians in the 8th century B.C., None of the kings of Israel were considered to be righteous kings. How tragic is that? Out of all the kings of Israel, none were considered to be righteous. The southern kingdom of Judah had 20 kings before they were taken captive by the Babylonians in the 6th century BC. Only a few of the kings of Judah were considered to be righteous kings. King Asa was the third king of Judah and the first righteous king to rule over Judah. His son Jehoshaphat was the second righteous king, becoming the fourth king of Judah after Asa, his father, had died. Now, before we look a bit more into the reign of King Jehoshaphat and some lessons we can learn, here's a quick story from the recent Foundation Institute Israel trip. After we flew overnight from New York to Tel Aviv, we arrived very early in the morning, went through passport control and customs, retrieved our luggage, and boarded the tour buses for our first full day of touring. After some general information and instructions from Mr. Eric Jones and our Israeli tour guide, we left the airport and drove a fairly short distance to the first stop of the tour, which was in Lachish, or known today as Tel Lachish. Now, a tell, just to help everyone understand, is a large hill or a mound that has had numerous settlements built on the same location. As one city is captured or destroyed or sometimes abandoned, the ruins and debris are covered over, and another city is built right on top of it. The tell grows higher as the next city is built on top of the ruins of the former city. When we visited Tel Megiddo the next day, we were told that 26 different settlements or cities had been built there, one on top of the other. Throughout the tour, we could see different tells off in the distance, rising from the landscape at various different heights, depending on how many cities had been built there, one on top of the other. I'd like to read a paragraph from Mr. Meyer's travel blog on Tel Lachish. Mr. Myers wrote, "Lachish figures prominently in the history of Israel. It was likely the second most important city in the southern kingdom of Judah after Jerusalem. It is mentioned several times in the Bible, first in the battle accounts of Joshua, not long after the time of the Exodus when Joshua prays for the long day in order to defeat the Canaanite king of Lachish. Then under Hezekiah, when Assyrian king Sennacherib attacked and attempted to take the city about 700 B.C., and again during the time of Zedekiah, when Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians took the city just before taking Jerusalem in 586 and 585 B.C. Now, on our way walking up the hill at Lachish that morning, there were 20 small bronze thrones in order from the first king of Judah all the way to the last king of Judah, the first king being Rehoboam and the last king being Zedekiah. It was very interesting and an educational visual to look at those 20 thrones in order, all with the back of each throne at a different height, depending on how long that king had reigned over Judah. King Jehoaz reigned for just 3 months, so his throne virtually had no back on it at all. The back of Manasseh's throne was the highest one, as he reigned for the longest, 55 years. Now, of the 20 kings of Judah, 12 of them were considered to be evil kings, and the scriptures say they did evil in the sight of the Eternal. The other 8 kings of Judah did what was good and right in the eyes of the Eternal, although some to a lesser degree than others. Now, as I mentioned earlier, 2 of the righteous kings of Judah were Asa and Jehoshaphat, his son. Asa ruled for 41 years, and Jehoshaphat ruled for 25 years. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he became the king over Judah. Now, in general, the evil kings who rejected God and his ways struggled with much problems and strife and turmoil during their reign, which in turn brought hardships and suffering on the people as well. And on the other hand, the righteous kings who endeavored to please God and made it a priority received God's kindness, mercy, and favor, and the people enjoyed more peace and happiness during their reign, the result of God's promise, as we read earlier, of blessings for their obedience to him and to his way. We know Proverbs 29 and verse 2 says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked man rules, the people groan." Let's look now at some lessons we can learn from Jehoshaphat, one of the most righteous kings of Judah. Let's begin in 2 Chronicles chapter 17. Turn, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 17. Now, Jehoshaphat is now king over Judah. He begins his reign by placing troops to strengthen the fortified cities of Judah, some which his father Asa had conquered. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, we'll read verses 3 through 6. 2 Chronicles 17 and verse 3. Now the Eternal was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the former ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father and walked in his commandments and not according to the acts of Israel. Therefore the Eternal established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah gave presents to Jehoshaphat, and he had riches and honor in abundance, and his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Here's our first lesson from Jehoshaphat. His heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. His heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Now, certainly all of us try daily to live by God's way of life, to keep his commandments, to walk in Christ's footsteps, to follow Christ's perfect example. This brings true happiness and makes our heart glad. We just read that God was with Jehoshaphat, that he sought God and kept his commandments, and his heart took delight in the ways of the Eternal. So too, brethren, should our heart delight in following God's ways. Turn, if you would, back to Psalm 105. Psalm 105, and we'll begin reading here in verse 1. We'll read verses 1 through 4. Psalm 105 and verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Eternal. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his marvelous, wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord with his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Let their hearts rejoice who seek the Lord. There is an inner joy that comes from following God's way with our whole heart, and a blessing to those around us when the light of God's way shows through us and through our life. Living by God's way can be difficult at times as we follow the straight and narrow path, but it should be a delight for us and not a burden. It is such a blessing to be called by God now to know his truth, and a joy we should have to live by his way of life. You don't need to turn here, but 1 John 5 and verse 3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." The Amplified Translation says his commandments are not irksome, burdensome, oppressive, or grievous. Living by God's way should bring us comfort, joy, and true happiness, and we should also delight in the ways of the Eternal. Our first lesson from Jehoshaphat is our heart should delight in following God's ways. Now let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 17 again. You may want to keep a marker in Chronicles 17. We'll be going back here a few times. But 2 Chronicles chapter 17, and we'll read just verse 1 as a lead into our second lesson from Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles chapter 17 and verse 10. And the fear of the Eternal fell on all the kingdoms of the lands that were around Judah, so that they did not make war against Jehoshaphat. Lesson number 2 is God protects his people. God protects his people. The fear of God fell on all the kingdoms around Judah, and they did not go to war against Jehoshaphat. We read earlier in Deuteronomy chapter 28 of God's promises of blessings for obedience to him. We read in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 10 earlier, "Then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Eternal, and they shall be afraid of you." God made good on his promise. The kingdoms around Judah were afraid and did not make war against them. God said in Deuteronomy 28 and verses 1 and 2, "If you diligently obey my voice, if you carefully keep my commandments, then I will protect you from your enemies." That's a promise from God, a promise of protection for his people, for living by and for following his way of life. That is exactly what God did for Judah under the reign of King Jehoshaphat. Well, what a blessing that is, protection for God's people when they obey him and when we follow his commands. Turn, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 19 now. Find a third lesson here from King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 19. And again, we'll read one verse, verse number 3. 2 Chronicles 19 and verse 3. "Nevertheless, good things are found in you in that you have removed the wooden images from the land and have prepared your heart to seek God." Lesson number three is prepare your heart to seek God. Prepare your heart to seek God. Now, seeking something is much more than just casually looking around for it. To seek something takes determined and consistent effort. It actually takes action. To seek something takes focus. To seek or seek out means to search determinedly to find, to endeavor to obtain, and to actually move forward and take action to find. If we prepare our heart to seek God, we'll be actively and earnestly praying and studying so we are growing in the depth of our understanding of God and of His way of life. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4, if you would please. Deuteronomy chapter 4, and the setting here is God giving instruction through Moses to the children of Israel. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, and we'll read verse 29. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 29, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul." We should seek God this same way, with all our heart and with all our soul. And Psalm 69 and verse 32 says, "You who seek God, your hearts shall live. You who seek God, your hearts shall live." Turn now, if you would, back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, and we'll read verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." We must first have faith, of course, and we must truly believe in God, and then diligently seek him with consistent and focused effort with all our heart. Now let's go back and look at another lesson from King Jehoshaphat, this time in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, this is a fascinating story of God's promise of protection for his people against their enemies, against impossible odds. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we'll begin reading here in verse 1. "It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, 'A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi.' And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Eternal, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Eternal. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Eternal before the new court, and he said," this is a prayer that Jehoshaphat offered up, "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations, and in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they shall dwell in and they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, 'If disaster comes upon us, such as the sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save.' And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit." And verse 12, "O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah and their little ones, their wives and their children stood before the Eternal." It's interesting to note here that when we read in verse 13, all Judah, the men, the women, the little ones, the children, all Judah were involved in looking to God for deliverance. And just a side note, certainly as we teach our children to pray, We may also have them pray for God's help in a trial that we're aware of, maybe a health issue of someone at church or a family member. This way they also begin to learn to look to God first for help. Now apparently all of Judah was aware of the situation they were facing, and the men, women, and children were all beseeching God for his deliverance. A fourth lesson we can extract from this for us is look to God first for help. Look to God first for help. Now, Jehoshaphat did the right thing, and it appears as if he did it right away. He looked to God first. Verse 3 and 4 said, he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah, and he told them to seek God, help from God. This example is a good lesson for us about how we should handle trials, challenges, and difficulties when we face them in our life. We should look to God first for help. And at times we can ask others for their prayers on our behalf as well. Sometimes we quote the last part of James chapter 5 and verse 16, but let's turn back to James chapter 5 now and read verses 13 through 16. James chapter 5. And we'll read verses 13 through 16. James 5 and verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Eternal will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now we are familiar with James' instructions here in this section of Scripture, and it's a good reminder for us to call for the elders for anointing and to ask others to pray for us when we face challenges and difficulties in our life from time to time. Now let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 once again. And the example of Jehoshaphat looking to God first for help. And his prayer here in verses 6 through 12 is an inspiring and a faith-filled prayer that he offered up to God, where he recalled what God had done for his people in the past, and he knew how badly they needed his help now. The situation for them looked hopeless. In verse 12, Jehoshaphat told God, "We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you." This prayer may be good for us to read through when we go through trials, and like Jehoshaphat, sometimes we don't know what to do. The situation seemed hopeless on a human level, but he kept his eyes on God. He had faith that God could and that God would deliver them from their enemies. Jehoshaphat looked to God first for help, and that brings us to lesson number 5. We'll pick up the story now in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning in verse 14. And here we see God's hand following through on his promise and delivering them from their enemies. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we'll begin reading here in verse 14. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the congregation, and he said, "Listen, all of you of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Eternal to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them, they will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle." How comforting would that have been? "Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Eternal who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Eternal is with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Eternal, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up again to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the eternal your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and were saying, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Eternal set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off from them for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil, because there was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Baraka, or literally the Valley of Blessing, until this day. Then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat in front of them to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Eternal had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Eternal. Now the lesson I noted out of this fascinating story of God's protection is stand still, God is with you. Stand still, God is with you. Jehoshaphat and his armies were facing what seemed to be an impossible situation, a battle they knew they could not win. But when they got to the area where the battle would take place, they looked out at the wilderness and all they saw were dead bodies. They did not have to use a single weapon. They did not have to kill a single enemy. Verse 24 said, all were dead. No one had escaped. God delivered them quickly in a way that no one would have ever thought possible. What an encouraging example that is for us. When we obey and when we follow God, the battle is not ours, but God's. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly how this happened. What we are told in verses 22 and 23 is that the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir started out as allies against Judah. But for some reason, the armies of Ammon and Moab turned on the inhabitants of Seir. And when they had wiped them out, they turned on each other until they were all dead and no one escaped. The words of Paul in Romans 8 and verse 31 come to mind here. If God is for us, who can be against us? And when we're faced with trials and challenges in our life and we have taken it to God in prayer and sometimes with fasting, we can be encouraged by this lesson from Jehoshaphat. Stand still. God is with you. The people of Judah, under the reign of righteous King Jehoshaphat, received the blessings God promised for obedience to him, and God truly was with them. We read earlier in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 7, God said, I will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. And in verse 10, he said, your enemies shall be afraid of you. Now back to Chronicles chapter 20 and our final lesson from Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we'll read verses 29 and 30. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Eternal had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Jehoshaphat was one of the righteous kings of Judah, and we read in verse 30 that the realm, or the kingdom, the world of Jehoshaphat, was quiet, for God gave him rest all around. Our final lesson is obedience to God brings us peace. Obedience to God brings us peace. Now we look forward to keeping God's Sabbath every week. It brings us rest. It brings us peace. We understand God's plan, and when a family member or friend or church member dies, of course we grieve, but we have a peace that those God hasn't called yet can't have in those situations. When we keep God's holy days and we keep the feast, we have peace, knowing what they picture in the future, understanding how incredible God's plan is for all humanity. Keeping God's commandments, teaching our children to live by God's way, brings us peace, knowing the blessings God promises for our obedience to Him. In John 14 and verse 27, Christ said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And the Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians 3 and verse 15, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." Christ said, "Don't let your heart be troubled. My peace I give to you." And Paul said, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts." Obedience to God under the rule of King Jehoshaphat brought peace to the people of Judah. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 30 said, "The realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for God gave him rest all around." What a blessing God gives to us, to His people, when we obey Him, when we live by His way of life. We also have peace in our lives, real peace that can only come from God and from His way. Obedience to God brings us peace. Now, one of the themes that we find running throughout the Bible is that when individuals delight in God's way, when they make seeking and pleasing God a top priority in their lives, they received blessings in this life and the promise of a glorious future. Of course, the opposite is true as well. Those that rejected God, did not follow His ways and keep His commandments, brought suffering and hardship and adversity on themselves and on others as well. This theme is so clear when we read through the stories of the 20 kings who ruled over Judah for a span of about 350 years. Some of the kings, like King Jehoshaphat, were mostly God-fearing and did what was good and right in the eyes of God. Others were godless and did what was evil in the sight of the Eternal. Jehoshaphat was the second righteous king to rule over Judah, and 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 32 says he did what was right in the eyes of God. The kingdom of Judah received blessings God promised them that we read about in Deuteronomy chapter 28, blessings for their obedience to God during the reign of the righteous king. Now, there is much that we can learn and many lessons we can draw out of the stories of the lives of the kings of Judah, both from the good kings as well as from the bad kings. Today, we drew out some lessons from one of the good kings of Judah. I hope we can remember the lessons we learned today from Jehoshaphat, one of the most righteous kings of Judah.